Welcome. All right, today's class is, I'm titling today's class, Picture This. It reminds me of the Riddler on Batman back in the day. Riddle me this, Batman. So today's going to be called Picture This. And just to run through what we've done so far, we have learned how to journal by getting quiet, purposing our heart to commune with the Lord, to ask Him a general question, and let the answer bubble up from within us, and we write His answer. That is doing two things. It's teaching us to commune with the Lord and to hear His voice. And what it does is it will start working on you until you will be able to hear His voice effortlessly, because you're used to asking and hearing. Okay? Second thing we did was studying the Bible, right? Went through different techniques for studying the Bible to meditate on verses and to glean our answer from the Bible. Next was Holy Spirit, that He's with us and how He speaks to us, the different venues and ways that He speaks to us, and then praying in tongues. We did praying in tongues for the purpose of building ourselves up, edifying ourselves on the inside like a generator. And if we got revelation or a word or anything, praise God. But that's not what we're doing it for. It is to be built up in our inner person, to be strengthened and energized. Amen. And then last week, what did we talk about last week? Okay, it was not a Yes, speaking the Word of God, speaking the Scriptures, speaking, writing decrees, declaring, speaking out loud with the power of your voice. Okay, and so we were talking about speaking last week. So the homework, and I gave you those assignments for last week. So I've got these ones here for you. You can take if you want them. You don't have to have them if you don't want them. But they're what I'm going to use to teach from today. And the homework for last week was that we each decide something that we want. Okay? Not the biggest thing we want, but a thing that we want in our lives. And it could have been anything. It could have been a thing. It could have been a relationship. It could have been health in our body. It could have been a different job. It could have been a job for another person. There's really nothing that is too far outside the box. Except we can't believe for something like a second and third moon to be placed in the heavens. You laugh. But the word anything, nothing is impossible. Anything is possible. There's people that stretch far beyond where we're at. I used to think that way, and I asked about it. And so what's been provided by grace, and we'll keep it on the scope of this planet, that is something that you can actually get in this world to make it easy for a beginner. Like you can say, I want a new vehicle. Oh, okay, describe the new vehicle you would like. Well, I want it to be a spaceship. I want it to be able to do interplanetary commutes back and forth, and I want it to be able to get me to Saturn and back in one day. All right, that's crazy. Okay, so we're going to bring it back down home to reality perspectives. Okay, so do you guys have that? You guys are good with that? You guys have that? Great. So then let me get started with this then. So this sheet here is we write down what we want. You guys have that? And you have your corresponding scriptures, okay? For two or three scriptures so that you are convinced that you can have it. For me, my scriptures, I just wrote down for something to have here that I want to double my income. My goal is to double my income, okay? And so I don't have a way to double my income. And I'm not going to try to conceive of a way to double my income. I'm not going to go into dead works to try to double my income. So I'm going to use spiritual principles to allow these things to come to pass, that the Lord bring them to pass, okay? So I've got my three scriptures to double my income, which is in Psalms 35, that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. In Deuteronomy, that God has given us power to get wealth. In the Gospels, where Second Corinthians, where Jesus became poor that we may become rich. And then it also in the epistles, what was it? It was in Timothy, I believe, and it is that that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Okay? So I have all four of those scriptures that it's okay, I have permission to double my income. Because there's nowhere that I could find that says no, there's a ceiling on what you can make. All right, so my heart now has permission that I can double my income. Okay, so then what I need to do is, if we're following the template of Philippians chapter 4, so then I need to ask. Right? And when I ask, what does it say? If I know he hears me, in Thessalonians, if I know he hears me, that if I ask according to his will and he hears me, I have what I ask. Okay? I have what I ask. Now, have is a relative term. If I go on Amazon right now and I order something on Amazon and I pay it, boom, buy it now, and I bought it now and my payment goes through and I get a confirmation email, did I have my request answered? Yes. It's mine, right? But it's on its way, isn't it? Now, depending on how far away it is, what hoops it has to go through to get to me will determine how long it takes to get to me, right? But it is coming and it is surely mine. I can count on that, right? But if I thought it was going to be 2-day delivery and it's coming from a slow boat from China and it's 6 weeks going to take to get here, all right, I can get my hope deferred. But it is surely coming, okay? So we need to know that when we ask, we get our yes, it's definitely on its way, okay? Once you know it's on its way, you never need to ask again. You don't have to. She says you don't have to keep paying for stuff on Amazon. If it's paid, if it's a yes, then it is a yes. You never have to doubt whether it's coming, right? Because of the credibility of the company. Because of the credibility of God. If he says, listen, if you ask according to my will, it's yes, you've received it. It's yours. Jesus says, whatsoever thing you say, believe it in your heart that you received it. Doubting not in your heart, you'll have what you say. So we've got these verses so that we don't doubt. Okay? So we don't question it. Thanksgiving. When I get to purchase something really great on Amazon, and it's coming to me, I'm excited because it's coming. I'm thankful. It's like, God, thank you for that. That's going to help me so much. The sound system's going to be so much better now. Wow, I'm telling you, worship is going to be 1,000 times better just because of that piece of equipment, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that they had it for such a great price. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's the new cutting edge piece of equipment. That is great. I'm so excited for this thing. I'm just going to be able to use it for all the time, Lord. I'm going to be able to help everybody on the worship team. This is such a wonderful blessing. See the attitude of my heart? I can do all of that while someone else is transferring it from there to here. I don't transfer it from there to here. I decide what I want. I get my yes, and I trust the other side is going to bring it to me. And I do that with a thankful heart. Okay? Being thankful, let me just give another example of being thankful is there's a joy that is inside of you that is alive that says, I have it. Right? When you know you have it, you have it. And I'm telling you guys, when we lock into this principle that it's true, you'll start asking for all kinds of things. I know I have been, and I'm getting them. I am getting them. And I'm telling you, I'm getting them faster and faster because I'm asking for things that's within the scope of possibility. So let me just clarify one thing for you on that. If we ask for something that's way out there, and I don't mean like China way out there, I mean in our thinking, if we're so specific in what we want, it may not be around us right now. And it's got to be created. If you want a certain vehicle and it's got all these gizmos and everything in it, you might have to wait for the dealership to make it. Or if you want a certain person, you might have to wait for some character to be formed in them that it's a good match for you. You know that? So there's things that if you ask too specifically, it's like, oh, dang, if they didn't have that line, I can give it to them right now. But since they included that line, it's going to take another 6 months because I need to get through to them on this other thing so that they can have their entire ask met. Okay? She's smiling over here. But I'm serious about that. That's how it works. So that's why I say whether it's going to be a 2-day delivery or it's going to be a 6-week delivery or a year delivery. It doesn't matter. When you know that it's yours, it's coming. So we can put that trust in it. Little testimony. I was asking God for something that had to do with another person. When you're asking for something that has to do with another person, they have free will. And they get to choose whether they want to change or not. Okay? And it's not because you're in their face telling them they need to be different. It's your ask. It's your ask that lines up the details of what's going to come. Okay? It's not you. It is not you. It's your ask. So therefore, if you ask for something that has to do with another person, they have the option of saying no to God. They have the option of being selectively deaf. They have the option of being afraid and not moving forward. They have that option. So you got to revise your ask and say, like, I'll just give one of mine, that I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage because we had a battle zone in our marriage. I mean, a serious battle zone. But I wasn't going to accept that as the life that I was going to live. That is not God's best. So I had a lot of history of fighting, a lot of history of chaos, a lot of history of drama. That's all I knew in that relationship. It's all I knew. So for me to say that I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage was an absolute bold-faced lie compared to what I now was walking in. This will help. So what you have to do is you have to plant your new seed and know that what exists is going to change. Seriously, this is important because what we are experiencing right now as what we call real life, because day after day, hour by hour, pictures have been instilled in us. Feelings have been instilled in us. Situations and dynamics have been created that are burnt into our cellular memory as real. You have to be willing to let that go. That means you can't call that real anymore. This is the hardest part for so many people. You've got to take what is going on right now and suspend your judgment. Take your hands off of it and give it permission to change. Especially if there's another person involved in your ask. It's huge. So here's my thing. No matter what, I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. Okay? Thank God I'm actually eating that fruit right now, by the way, and it's wonderful. However, I had to be willing to give up the marriage I was in to have a wildly wonderful marriage. Huge point. Too many of us say, I would like this, God, like I'm talking right now about doubling my income. You start saying no to things. You start saying, oh, but you can't change what I have. You just threw a huge monkey wrench where it could take much longer now for you to get what you're asking for. Okay? If I said I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage and I was unwilling to change or my wife was unwilling to change, that we could acknowledge that that's what we have. In fact, my ask didn't even need her to acknowledge it. It just had to be that way to me. It had to be real to me that I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage, okay? So, in doing so, I was willing to lose this marriage, to not have the drama, so that I can have this wildly wonderful loving marriage, okay? I had to deal with scriptures that says God hates divorce. Because that implanted something into me that made me actually a prisoner of that scripture rather than it being a strength to my marriage. Okay? So, what I had to do was be willing to let that thing go, which I'm a very loyal person. That's just part of my makeup. I don't know how I got that way, but I am tremendously loyal, so I will endure hardship for a very, very long time until I bust the gasket, okay, until I'm finally done. And then when I'm done, I don't care what the Bible says. It's over. See what's happening? God needed me to get to that point that my marriage wasn't an idol. And I had to break that thing inside of me that made me a prisoner to the verse, God hates divorce. Okay? Once I got to the place that I broke that by saying, I don't care, we're not going to, not one more day of drama or I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I am done with you thinking you can treat me this way. And she was so done with me always thinking she's the problem. Okay? She wasn't. The truth was, and this is very, very vitally important that most people don't understand when you're believing for a relationship situation, I was 100% my problem. I want to say it again. I was 100% my problem. I wasn't 100% the problem in the marriage. I was 100% my problem. And she was 100% her problem. Because our problems are what we say in our hearts. It's how we label. It's how we define. It's how we feel in those circumstances. It's how we get stirred up, how we remember the past, how we pull it all together. It's all inside of me. So I had to take my hands off of how I was labeling my marriage. I had to take my hands off of how I was labeling my wife. I had to take my hands off of whether I'm going to be married or not be married to her. I took my hands off of all of it. Why would I do that? Because as long as I got my hands on something, God can't have his hands on it. I'm just telling you. As long as I'm trying to hold something together, God can't hold it together because I've got it. But if I will release it, that means I got to be willing for it to be different. I got to be willing for it to be different than me holding it together because of duty, because of scripture, because of something. The scripture became my prison rather than my protection. And so I had to let it go. That means that when I was confessing I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage, what was going on in the natural did not say that. Didn't. And I got to tell you, the devil wanted me to turn my blame onto my spouse. See, she's still doing it, Lord. I'm confessing these wonderful confessions, and they're still doing it. Okay? That means I didn't actually release them. I haven't forgiven. To forgive means to release, to take my hands off of, to divorce myself from that determination, from that judgment. I let it go. I'm no longer looking at that. I'm looking at the seed I'm planting. By faith, this is it, and this is it. And all my attention goes into, I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. All my attention, I'm not kidding. When I say all, guess how much I mean. All my attention. And that's hard. I mean, I'm telling you, all of my attention went into that. Until it became real and my heart accepted it. I had to get my yes. Once I got my yes, then I was able to let it go. Because I already knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Okay? Some things are easy, some things are hard. And when it started coming, I could perceive it coming because everything that was here in my life that I called real and I was living in started changing quickly. New situations started opening naturally. Opportunities started changing naturally. Things started coming in, and it was supernatural. The way all of a sudden we got healing, all of a sudden we got our perspective squared away, all of a sudden things started changing. And I am guaranteeing you this, as Jesus is my witness, I am living in a wildly wonderful, loving marriage, and she had no idea I was doing it until this summer when I shared the story with somebody else. Was the first time my wife ever heard it, because it had nothing to do with her. It was not about her behavior. It was about my heart. I am in complete control of my life. I am in complete control of my destiny. I am in complete control of my own reality. Because why? God is in me. His Spirit is with me. He leads me by His Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am His Son. And when He speaks, it comes to pass. When I speak, it comes to pass. If it's in my heart, the dialogue in my heart, it comes to pass. If it comes out of my mouth, it comes to pass. If I dwell on it and think on it and think on it and think on it, it comes to pass. I am the one bringing what I live in to pass by either reinforcing what I have, and I don't sit there and dwell on it. It's little clips, little pictures, little feelings, little ideas. They just pop up like, boop. You're never going to get that. Poop. And I don't kill it. I just like, poop. That's not going to happen. Poop. See, they're still the same way they were all along. Poop. Nobody's going to hire you. Poop. You know, stop that. No. And all those little things try to come in, see? And they try to get you just, your heart to just call that moment real. Just to, that little thing, that little, call that real. Make it little. It's little, but notice it. Well, notice that too. Oh, notice this too. And that's how the devil robs you from having this thing. That's why you got to have your full undivided attention on it until you get your yes. Okay? I'm telling you how to really own this stuff, not the name it and claim it thing. There's a real dynamic that goes on inside of a person, and it's called doubt. And it's, if we've doubted, we can't pretend that we're not doubting. What we need to do is find out, why am I doubting? Why don't I believe that I can have this? What's in my heart that's saying, even though God says it's right, even though the Bible says it's true, why do I think I can't have it? Why do I think I can't walk in it? Most of us are placing it on God to do it. Okay, this is how God does it. You decide what you want. You ask for it by faith in the Spirit. You receive it in the Spirit in the invisible realm. You get your yes. And then you believe that it's true by speaking thankful things, gratitude in your heart, so blessed because it's on its way. It never says to change what is. What is will change because that's coming. Okay? We just have to prepare for the coming. Don't we prepare for the coming of the Lord? Isn't that what we do? How do we prepare for the coming of the Lord? We purify ourselves. That's what we do. We purify ourselves because we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. So we get rid of everything in us that's not like him. Isn't that the truth? That's what a Christian does, right? And so we are deliberately moving everything out of us that isn't like him, because the Bible says we purify ourselves because when we see him, we're going to be just like him. So we're getting it out of us now. So when you, by faith, believe for something, it can be so easy as to just write it down, say what you want, and tuck it away. And say, thank you, Lord, and tuck it away. And then in a few years or whatever, you pull it out and go, oh, I got that. God gave me that. That was great. Because you let it go and you put it away. Some things you have to work at. Some things you plant the seed and it's great seed. But the problem is it's such great seed that the squirrels, the chipmunks, and the birds like eating it. Okay? So you got to be out there all the time protecting that seed in the ground until it gets to the place to where it can start doing something, because the squirrels and the chipmunks and the birds are going to try to eat your seed. Foxes don't eat seed. Just going to let you know that. But anyway. Yeah, well, the fruit, when it comes up, yes, the foxes will spoil the vines. That is absolutely true. It is a verse. But, yeah, they'll eat the fruit when it's coming up and trying to rob you from it, which is a great analogy, because right now that I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage, because I had been in a bad marriage for so long, it's easy for me to relax in my confession. And as I relax in my confession, I'm no longer driving. And so what happens now is old inclinations creep in, and then the next thing you know is, what's that? What am I thinking? I'm thinking those thoughts again, when before they were completely gone. Time for me to start maintaining my crop here. And as I maintain it, all of a sudden those thoughts drip away. All right? None of that I was going to talk about. Not at all. But I want to let you know that I have talked to so many people about this, and I guarantee you this, they have a blank stare on their face. And I'll tell you why they have a blank stare. Because it's not real for them. I'm just being honest. It's not real. It's great that it worked for me, but for them, it's not real. And I got to tell you, some significant people in my life I shared this with, because it's incredibly powerful. But to them, they haven't done it, not even a lick. They haven't found out what they want. They haven't decided they're going to have it. And they haven't let go of what exists right now and take 100% responsibility for whatever they have in their life, or 100% responsibility for what they don't have in their life. And you know what? I just keep on preaching it. It's that important. So, here I'm going to give you one little thing for if you're trying to believe for something that at the time your heart cannot comprehend that your world could be different. Okay? Because it's been around so long, so it's just really difficult. You want to believe it. You want to believe God's going to give it to you, but it's too much water under the bridge. too much. Okay, so this is how you do it. Do you guys know what a movie is? You ever seen a video editing file? Maybe, maybe not. But you can take the file of a movie once it's recorded and throw it up on an editor, and it'll show the whole frames of all the pictures and the audio track that goes with it. Okay? What you do if you're going to sell that is you do something called storyboards. Do you know what storyboards are? Storyboards are, if you're going to sell a movie or an ad to somebody, what you do is before you make the movie, because you haven't got the financing for the movie yet, you'll create a storyboard. So you'll get some selected images you'll draw out that'll start showing the storyline and the progression of the movie or the ad that you're soliciting for. Okay, in advertisement they use storyboards also on to sell to the customer how they're going to market their product. Okay, so they have these clips of these pictures that walk you through what's going to take place. All right? Your life has already been decided. Your life, as far as God's concerned, has already started and finished before your days started on the planet. Okay? It says that all the pages of your book were written before you were born. Okay? Thing is, you and I don't know what's around the corner. You and I, the way we work is, have you ever seen a stock market chart where they have the graph of the stocks, whether they go up or down? And these guys that do day trading, they click clicks of the mouse, or they invest, and then they're either going up or they're betting that it's going to go down, and they make a profit on that, okay? So everything they're using on these charts to make money on is from the past. Because the future hasn't happened yet for them. So the stock hasn't reacted to that yet. So this is all reaction that you're seeing to market flux. Okay? So they are making their bets on whether they're going to make money or not off of the past history and performance of that stock or mutual fund. Do you understand what I'm saying? The human heart does the same thing if it's not actually focused on the kingdom of God. The human heart predicts its next day by carrying forward all the information from days gone by and projects what your future life is going to be like because of past performance in your life, okay? And it just naturally does that. And you're betting on yourself what your life is going to be like. So you set highs and lows so you don't lose your money, okay? They're called stop losses. They stop you from getting a loss in the investing world. Well, people's lives, they put invisible stop losses in too. And says, okay, I'll do this as long as it doesn't get to this point down here. And it's like, well, I would love for it to go up here, but it's never gone that high before in my life. It's never been that good. So I'm not going to get my hopes up that I can have it that good. So I'm going to just cut it right there in my heart. Okay? And they do the exact same thing. I want to let you know, that is not how the kingdom of God operates, but it's how a soul operates. So you have to retrain yourself on how to do this. So when you've got your storyboard, you've got the story that has gone up till today. But now what you're going to do is write a brand new storyboard. One that changes. All of a sudden, midway through the movie, the character that you thought was bad the whole time ended up being a great character. They showed a side of themselves you never saw. Some little thing happened in their life. They changed their morals, and all of a sudden now, doon, 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 the hero is rising up in your new movie. That it caught everybody by surprise. They actually thought this person was the villain. Okay? Or they actually thought this person wasn't going to make anything of their life. Or they actually thought this person was going to die because their life is so bad right now, there's no way the writer's going to keep them in the story much longer. Okay? or this character's so boring, no one's going to pay attention to this character anymore. Well, this character that's so boring has a really mysterious, adventurous side that has never had an opportunity for you to write it in the script. So you're going to write it in the script. Stop judging your future by your past performance and history. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God operates on you decide what you want, you speak it into existence, and you have thankful heart because it's absolutely coming to you. It's called seed, time, and harvest. And God put in the seed everything it needs to become the plant or the tree. It's not in anything but the seed. The seed does it all. And we need to realize that we are dirt bags. And when we speak, we're planting seeds in our own hearts. Okay? And as you plant that word in your heart, it will surely grow. But you have to protect it. You have to guard it. And you have to keep it, the Bible says. And if you will understand, keep, and protect, you will have it. And you'll have a great harvest. Okay? So the word does the work, not you deciding how it's going to come to pass. Okay, I gave you three very important things to try to paint this picture for you, that you're allowed to believe God for whatever you want. You just have to be able to accept that you can have it, and it's God's will for you to have it, and that just by you deciding you want it, you can have it. Okay? I'm telling you, this is a very sober moment right now. Because it's not just, well, say it and get it. I'm telling you how to actually get it. Okay? Because a lot of people have had long-standing issues. And they're waiting for God to do something. And then what happens is they wonder, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that God isn't doing it for me? What's wrong with me that I see other people, whatever, but not me? Okay? How come they're driving that and I'm driving this? How come they're making that and I'm making this? How come they're married to that and I'm married to this? Whatever. Or how come, what if I'm not married? Why don't they pick me, Lord? How come all the losers only pick me? Why don't ever the quality people pick me? I'm telling you, it's all over the board. It is everywhere, everywhere. Okay? But I'm telling you the secret, because you are not bound by past performance and history. You are bound by deciding what you want, believing God, finding it in the scriptures that you're allowed to have it, that it's His will to give it to you, so that when you ask, you can validate your heart, I absolutely will have this, no matter what. And once it's a no matter what, it's thank you. It's coming, thank you. And nobody's going to change me because I already got my yes. It's over. So you're just going to have to make up your mind about it. Because I'll tell you, once you get your mind made up, especially if it has to do with another person, which I would hope your thing isn't another person to begin with. I hope you grow into that. If it's with another person, you'll have lots of opportunity for criticism. You'll have lots of opportunity to be spoken bad of, you'll have lots of opportunity to be moved off of your position. Okay? And you just got to stay your course. I'll give you one last testimony, then we're going to do our exercises. I decided to do, this is years ago, I decided to do a physique transformation challenge. Okay? And I wanted to get my body looking a certain way simply because it was a challenge to do it. And I needed the exercise, and I had let myself go, and so I thought I should do something about it. So I saw all these before and after pictures of people. Before and after, before and after, before and after. And I started going, oh, wow, I look like him now. And now he looks like that. And, oh, he's worse than I am. And he looks that good now. It's like, whoa, what's happening? I'm getting an image built on the inside of me that it's actually possible. It's possible. It may not be probable yet, but it is possible, at least. If these guys were doing what this plan lays out, and these guys got this result, then if I follow this plan, I should be able to get some facsimile of these results. Right? You would think. So, the question was this. You've got to take the products, you have to exercise, and you've got to be committed to getting your results. You have to be committed to getting your results. And if you will do those things, you will start making a movement in that direction. All right? So I did that. And when I made my commitment that I was going to work X amount of hours a day and then I was going to be in the gym for X amount of hours each night, when so many days a week, and I had my routine laid out, I had my eating habits laid out, I had my diet plan on what I was going to eat, I had my calories and portions measured, I did all the math for everything so that this plan could carry me to this place. Okay? I got committed and I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I am going to do this. I believe this is of you. I have my instructions and my plans laid out. Now, I am going to stick to this. And anything that comes against me and tries to get me off this plan, no matter what it is, if my favorite person dies and I've got to go to their funeral, no. Let the dead bury the dead. I am going to stick to this plan. So it's of the devil if anything tries to deter me from it. Okay. I made my commitment. Guess what? I would have never known that the first devil that came to me was my pastor. All of a sudden, he wanted to have a work day after I'm into it about 3 weeks and into my plan and doing a great job. And on my workout day, during my workout hours, he wanted to have something like when people clean things up and spring cleaning for the church and all that. And so he wanted us to, all of us guys, to get together and to clean it all up and get everything picked up and do all that stuff. And I said, for the first time ever in my relationship with him, who was a very go-getter, passionate person, who was very good at getting everybody on his bandwagon, that's why he was the leader. And I said to him, looking him right in the eye, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have another commitment. He goes, well, change your commitment. I go, I can't do that. He goes, it's only exercise. You can do that anytime. Do this, and then you can do it later. I'm thinking to myself, Satan, get behind me. I wasn't about to say that to him. But I said this, I'm terribly sorry. I'm walking in integrity. I made a commitment, and I'm sticking to it. I hate that you don't like it, but I'm sorry. I have to go. And I left and went to the gym and exercised. I didn't have the greatest amount of confidence and joy in that workout because I was really used to succumb to his authority and what he wants me to do. I'm used to him overriding me and having me follow his stuff. Okay? Listen, there's a lot of people out there that, one, are boundary busters, and two, the other side of the equation is people that don't have boundaries that they'll actually stick to, and they've trained other people who are boundary busters that you won't stick to your guns so they can run over you. Okay? That guy. So then for me to stand up and do that and be at the gym on these set schedules to eat this food, to do these shakes, to stick to this routine was very difficult for me. However, after I started doing it for a few months, my body started really responding. I started really liking it. I started actually enjoying and looking forward to my body. Clock started lining up with it. My body got used to exercising. All of a sudden, this joy started filling me. And not only did this joy start filling me, balance came to the entire rest of my life. My finances got in order. My relationships got in order. Everything started working out. I had more energy than ever before. And all of a sudden, after 16 weeks, I get my after photos, and I'm looking at those, and I'm going, I could have done better. I could have done better. Other people look at my photos and go, wow, what a difference. Because I live inside my body. They saw the befores and the afters, and it was a huge difference. So, saying all that to say this, the very person that was giving me the hard time because I wouldn't bow to do what they thought I needed to do, and they used the whole God card. Oh, did they try? They did it all. This is for the church. This is the Lord's work. They did it all. All right? At the end of it, when I was all done, a few weeks later, guy takes me to the side and goes, tell me about that diet thing you did. I go, why? He goes, because I really respected the fact that you wouldn't give up and you stayed true to it no matter what was going on. That tells me a lot. So I want to do it too. So I'm saying this to you. When you have something by faith that you're believing for, and the rest of the world is not at that place, you got to let them just not be at that place and just go for it 100%. And if you do, they'll see the aftermath of God's blessing in your life time and time again. And that blessing will be what bears witness to them so that they can ask, what is it you're doing? What is it you're doing? Oh, easy. I decide what I want. I believe by faith that I've received it, and then I get it. And I'm really thankful that that's all I need to do. What? Okay. So, moving on to the exercise now. So, it's only a 5-minute exercise. We have plenty of time. Take what you want, what you decided that you want. Okay? And I want you to see your life on that storyboard that I told you we're going to make a new picture in our storyboard with you having exactly what you were asking for. You actually got it. It came. And now you have it. And you've actually had it for a little while now. And you're remembering back to when you got it and how thankful you were. That's your new storyboard picture. Okay? It's what you're going to use right now for the future movie or ad that you're going to live. Okay? So what we do is we ask, knowing that we received, thankful that we have it, real gratitude, real joy, really thankful that I got it. So stop. Think about this. When you get what you ask for, because you know you actually are going to get it, which is huge for a lot of people, they don't even have hope to get it. That's the one thing you got to work through. Once you know you get it, exactly what you asked for, how are you going to feel when you actually have that thing in this natural world? Really? You're going to be hooping and hollering. People are going to be noticing it. You're going to be shining. They're going to be congratulating you, noticing it, whatever it is. People are going to be really rejoicing with you over that thing. All right? So, in this exercise, as you close your eyes and see it, I need you to see that you have it and see yourself out of your own eyes, see your hand just the way you see yourself with it in your life and with other people congratulating you, other people just telling you how wonderful it is, because I don't know what you're asking for, really telling you how great you look, telling you that, you know, God really answered your prayers over and above
what we could have thought or asked. God blessed you. And you got it, all right?
Sometimes we're not used to really seeing things well. But I want you to know, you live by seeing things. You live by it. You just may not realize it. Whenever you think, you're seeing. Whenever you're deciding, you're seeing. When you're driving, you're picturing while you're driving. While you're shopping in the store, you're picturing while you're shopping. While you're getting ready to cook, you're picturing as you're doing it. You're looking at real pictures and you're creating mental pictures. You're looking at real things and you're putting those together mentally and then doing it naturally. And you're working together with the pictures. When you're driving home, believe it or not, you're picturing the route on your way home. Okay? So pictures are a normal part of your life. So don't think doing an exercise for picturing is some other kind of picturing. It's not. Okay? It's that kind of picturing. And all you got to do is sometimes it's like an invisible picture. It's a picture, but it's invisible. Don't ask me how it is, but it is. You know it. It's there. Sometimes it's a vivid picture. Sometimes it's a fuzzy picture. Sometimes it's just little fragments and pieces, but your heart is able to put them together in a scenario. Okay? However that is for you, just let it be real for you. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to put a little bit of music on. It's only 4.5 minutes long. We're going to put some waves on the screen. So there'll just be some ocean waves in the background just to set the tone. I actually am going to ask you to close your eyes. And those of you that are at home, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to just close your eyes also. If you're driving in a vehicle, please don't close your eyes. You're probably good at daydreaming while you're driving. Just check your mirrors, okay? And anywhere else that you are, if you can close your eyes, do so, okay? But you don't have to. I can daydream with my eyes open sometimes. And all I do is I'll just find myself so that I just zoned out and went through this whole little movie of my life because I wanted to do something. And all of a sudden, bloom, 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 it solved its problem right there before my eyes. So you can do this, all right? So what do you believe in God for? You've received it. It's part of your life now. Like for me, I put doubling my income. I'll do things like seeing my bank account with a larger deposit in it, twice as big as a deposit, okay? I'll see myself telling my wife, go ahead and buy that. We have plenty of money. I'll see my wife saying, God is really blessing us financially. That is great. I'll see myself talking to the accountant going, isn't there any other deductions I can get? Do I really got to pay that much in taxes? Whatever it is, that makes it real for me, okay? You do the same with your thing. And I'll tell you, some of you might have to just take your time because some minds get so locked down, they won't let you see your life better because you've never seen it different, okay? Give yourself grace and just do the best you can, all right? Let's just take 4 minutes and we'll just see this happening for us, okay? I'm just going to sit down here too. Amen. So, did anybody have a difficult time seeing it as real? Okay. I just want you to give yourself some grace and practice doing it. You might want to write out a few things that helps you to focus. You know, like, this will be happening in my life. When I get this, these will be the results in my life, and these will be happening in my life, and this will be happening in my life. Okay? Because the chances are you're asking for something you don't believe you can actually have. There's something in you that doesn't think you're allowed to have it yet. But I want to let you know that's not true if you can. I mean, it's probably true that your heart is telling you you can't have it, but you've got to get the verses in your heart that it's okay and it's real for you. Like, let's just say a healing in your body, and you've got a lot of physical pain in your body still. Okay? That's when you've got to, let's just say, by his stripes I was healed. That's a great verse that everybody has, okay? So, the liar is what's actually you believe in your heart about your physical condition, okay? You've got to release that physical condition from being real. You've got to stop owning it. You've got to give it permission to go. Let it go and be healed, because the body is the shadow of the real. Okay? It's the shadow of what you really believe and think. So change what you believe and think, and the shadow will follow the real. It will. But you've got to see it. And sometimes it's in glimpses, because you haven't had any other example in your life that you can draw from. Does that make sense? Okay, one guy asked me, and I'm just going to share something that's very embarrassing. This guy asked me, he says, Robert, you tell me the story of by faith you don't smoke anymore. And you still smoked cigarettes, but you convinced yourself by building a new image on the inside of you that you were a non-smoker. I said, that's right. I was a healthy person, and cigarettes were not a part of my life. But you continued to smoke. I said, right, because my body was still addicted to cigarettes. But when the picture on the inside got bigger than what was going on the outside adapted itself to the inside. And when the picture got big and real enough in me, I smoked all the cigarettes I wanted. I never used self-control. I might have used it just a teeny, teeny bit from time to time, if I'm totally honest. But if I smoked a cigarette and all of a sudden I had enough and I got that, you know, you get that little, oh, that's enough. I just put it out then. Instead of going, well, no, I just think I'll keep smoking. I mean, I'm confessing, so I guess I can just keep smoking. I didn't do that. If I didn't feel like I wanted it, then I put it down. And I found that I smoked a lot less cigarettes, and I smoked less of cigarettes when I did. And after 3 weeks, I didn't smoke anymore at all. And it was so weak in me, I was able to say, I don't smoke. And I threw the cigarettes away that I had. And I remember I was in Mexico at the time, and I tossed it out, and I was done smoking. And I went home, and I was remodeling a house, and I left all the cigarette butts in my backyard where my saws were, and I left them there for 3 months while I was remodeling this house. And I had them in the console of my car, and I left them there for 3 months while I was doing all this, because I didn't smoke anymore. I wasn't trying to not smoke. I was a non-smoker, because I built a solid picture on the inside of me of what the truth was. Okay? When you can do that, when you're allowed to have what you're asking for, when God shows you in the Bible that it's his will for you to do so, then it absolutely is yours upon request. At that point, you're allowed to build the new image on the inside of you of having the life that it's not a part of. You have this new life, and you feed that and let the world change around you and become this new idea of what you have, okay? But it takes deliberateness and purpose. After you're very good at it, after you've done it a lot of times, it happens lickety-split. The picture comes, there's a flash and a reality and a manifestation. Okay? And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit can override all of this, and supernaturally God can speak to you, or you can lay hands on somebody, or you can speak by faith in this wild and wonderful moment where God just says, I believe there's a check in the mail for $35,000 for me. I believe there's a check in the mail for $35,000 for me. And you go out with hope in your heart each day, checking your mailbox, because God supernaturally dropped it in your heart. Because you start getting used to operating by the Spirit and by faith. Okay?